Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the BAM podcast. I am your host, Mike Lafferty, and the excited fellow below me is Mike Myler. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing pretty damn good. How's everybody else doing?
I'm all right. For a winter day in the middle of a pandemic, I'm as good as you can imagine. This is all water, I promise. And next to him is Mr. John Kennedy, his co-author in his most recent project. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. It is also a pretty chilly day here in Indiana.
Oh, where in Indiana?
Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, I grew up on the east side.
I grew up on the east side, too. Go Warriors.
Holy shit, I went to Warren Central High School.
Oh, really?
Class of 90.
2002.
Is Mrs. Rinesmith still there?
I had her my senior
year. Right, nothing.
Wasn't she awful?
Yeah.
Okay.
She once had us, like, she handed out, like, papers. She was too busy to hand them out. She said, hand them out to your classmates, and nobody could hand out the papers. And she's like, why are you all standing there? We don't know any of the other kids' names. Why? You yell at us if we try to talk.
That's Miss Rinesmith. Yeah. Oh, wow. It's his old home week. It's nice to meet you, John.
Nice to meet you as well.
Yeah, I'm out in Denver now, so I got out. I left the cornfields. They can't make me go back. And right above John is Mr. Jacob Blackman from Oklahoma. How you doing, Jacob?
Doing all right.
All right. And Mike and Jacob, you guys have worked together on projects before. We've talked about that on previous episodes.
Many, many past projects.
Yep. And today we're talking about a new project that you guys have in development. It's not ready for – it's not being released anytime soon, right?
6 months. Inside of 6 months, easily, yeah, I think. I'm like John still has some stuff to write. I'm done writing, I think.
Okay.
Except for art orders, which we might end up calling Jacob for, because Indy's having trouble with the cover, so we might call you Jacob. We'll see. Oh, I convinced her to take one more swing at it. But yeah. That's one of the pieces she's done. That's going to be an internal piece, which is just about perfect. The idea for the sign in the front was John's, and it's a brilliant idea.
It's turned out great, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, just to set the tone... Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have technical difficulties. Please forgive me. Once again, a podcast about dealing with a show about failure. I managed to somehow technically fail to properly host a podcast. So in a strange way, I'm doing really well.
Yes.
At capturing the spirit of the game, which is an homage to one of our favorite shows here at the BAM podcast. Gone Too Soon, Venture Brothers. And let's get a thing for that. Just 1 second.
Yeah.
And that's probably all I can play because Adult Swim is quick with that copyright claim button. But yeah, great show on Cartoon Network for like 17, 18 years. In the time they had seven seasons, started off as a parody of Johnny Quest, evolved into kind of a show about masculinity in America, pop culture, comics, personal development, often dealing with themes of failure. I feel like I'm writing a freshman level sociology paper right now talking like this, so I'm going to stop. But Mike and John, what do you guys find interesting about this show enough to make you want to do an RPG based on the same kind of theme?
I've always found Venture Brothers to be incredibly fun and funny. Like, it's not just a funny show, it's an engaging show where, like, you care about character development and the callbacks are worth sitting around. Like, I watched Schitt's Creek the other week because everyone was like, oh, Schitt's Creek, it's so good. And, like, how did the Venture Brothers not win awards? But that did. That just drove me nuts because, like, the writing in Venture Brothers is superlative. In and beyond the comedy and characters, like the narrative staging and the planning and the way it all comes together, it was just a beautifully made show, and we were sad to see it go. So when that happened, John and I lamented on Twitter, and he was like, "We should make an RPG," and I was like, "Okay." And that was half a year ago. When was it?
I think about half a year, and I will say, of all of the random stuff on Twitter, because I admit I am kind of that person who's like, oh yeah, there's a game in that. We should totally do that. This is like one of like the few projects that literally has gone from like, yeah, we should make a game. And the next thing we know, like Mike is like cranking out like the rules and he's getting like all this like cool design work together. And then when it came to my writing, I'm just thinking of all these jokes. And once I got the literal bucket load of bad jokes out of the way, because comedy's hard. And this is one of the first pure comedy, not pure comedy, but first like satire comedies that I've had to write in a while. But yeah, once you get all the bad jokes out of the way, and as Michael yeah, that joke doesn't work, or I don't get that joke, or but it's been a lot of fun. And the show just came out when I was an undergrad, and which makes me feel old. And it was just so great, and it's funny, it's witty, and it also it hits home. Like, you never think that you would tell yourself, man, I feel really bad for the guy in a butterfly onesie, but here we are, and he's having a rough go of it. And it's just incredible. And I also love just the comedic stylings of Doc Hammer, where I used to go to Dragon Con pretty regularly. And so I would go to the Venture Brothers panel, which they would do on Sundays. And just after a certain point, he would just mess with not just the audience, but his fellow actors. And one time, I think it was 2016, he did a fake reality show called Let's Do Smoking. And it was a 70s style talk show where he even had an intro made, and they had fake clips of him laughing at some guests off camera. And he came out there on stage in a 70s style suit, and he's messing with all of the other ones, and he gets all the actors out there, and he told none of them, because they're slowly walking on the stage what's going on? You don't do a 70s style show. And then he'd be like, oh, Venture Brothers, is that your new TV show? Tell me what working on that is like. And he's like, you're the boss. You wrote it. And I'm just in the audience just laughing along, because that's kind of my weird sense of humor. And so making a game where we explore the themes of Venture Brothers, because it's got some complex themes, but also just the – trying to think of a way to describe it that would make anybody listening to this really want to buy the game. It's like – the nonsensical fun where, it's
hilariously fulfilling nonsensical fun.
Yeah. You're going to be fighting a guy who uses frogmen for villains, not like Navy frogmen, but he dressed them in the Mario Brothers frog suit, and they're trying to steal something that's kind of pointless. And now you're taking on the frogmen.
The Sacromancer. Cybercock. Cybercock was a good move on your part, I got to tell you. But it's a good one. You're gonna enjoy it when you read the book, I promise.
Because it's a robot chicken.
Close. Yeah. No, not what you're thinking either.
Oh boy.
I simultaneously want to know a lot more and much, much less about your cybercock. moving right along. Hey John, you didn't go to IU, did you?
No, I went to Purdue.
Oh, I was at Purdue.
You too.
I think Mike is your origin character, John.
We are the same guy trapped in two bodies.
We're just spreading our influence across the United States.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. West Lafayette's depressing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Myler.
I was going to say when you make a character in the game, you pick a class, and two of the classes are hero and villain. And when you make a hero or villain, you also make an origin character who never actually appears in the game, only in flashbacks. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was like, oh, you're his origin character, because
yeah, it seems like we've wow, that takes me back, man. Purdue, that was, oh god, remember that drive up 65 to Purdue, the cornfields that never ended?
I was cut across 52, but that was more cornfields.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, enough Hoosier State nonsense. So you guys are doing a Powered by the Apocalypse game. That's an interesting choice. Why did you decide to go that way, especially for a comedy game?
Oh, well, John didn't really know what kind of game to make. He just knew he wanted to make one. And I have a little bit of experience with Powered by the Apocalypse. I might have told this story before, but it's a funny one, so I can tell again. One year for Gen Con, I was trying to find a badge, and Magpie Games was like, oh, we're offering badges for GMs. And so I looked through the things. I was like, oh, excellent. Superheroes Apocalypse. I actually have a book about this. I can definitely run these games no matter what system it is. So I signed up for it. And then I showed up to get my materials, and I'm looking through it, and it's like Powered by the Apocalypse Masks, Teenage Superheroes, and the stories of being teenage superheroes. I was like, oh no, this is terrible for me. this is not what I thought I was going to do. And I ended up running the games. Everyone enjoyed them. That was my introduction to Powered by the Apocalypse. So I understand it's a very narrative system, and it gives you lots of leeway as a player that you wouldn't get with a regular resource-based game, like most of the D20 variants. So Yeah, when he was like, let's make a comedy animated nostalgia game, that was my first go-to. I was like, yes, Powered by the Apocalypse. It's simple, it's fast, it gives people more than enough, you know, rope to hang themselves. That's exactly what I want in this game about failure.
And it's also really good for improv, where a lot of it is just you're reacting to what the players are doing with the story. And it encourages players to just to go nuts, where obviously we'd like for players to keep to the theme of the game. But at the same time, the theme of the game is just so fun and loose that players have as Mike said, all this rope to hang themselves with. And you can just do whatever you want with it. And that's the nice thing about Power of the Apocalypse. And in the playtest that we've run, we've had players who just out of nowhere are like, wait, well, what should I do? I'm going to throw the important thing in the ocean. Why? Go throw it in the ocean.
Getting rid of the evidence.
Are we in trouble? Not if we get rid of the evidence fast enough.
Yeah, the playtest has been very, very satisfying. It's nice to know for a fact that what I've been doing, it does function the way it's supposed to.
Did you hear Magpie got the license for Avatar, The Last Airbender?
Yeah,
I did. I got the information for potentially licensing Venture Brothers, and I will be sending a letter to pretty sure it's HBO. Might become the official Venture Brothers RPG. We'll see how that goes. Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm.
You know, you need anyone to write, sales copy or character descriptions or, hit me up because I would love to work on that. But although I got to say, I've read the draft and it looks like you guys are pretty far along already.
Yes. We'll have to redo a lot of it if it becomes Avenger Brothers RPG. But we're
Avenger Brothers RPG. I want to do the art on that.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a different monster if we get the license. Mm-hmm. But we're planning on not because it can be difficult to get IP licensing, particularly if it's a thing that has not already been licensed, right? I don't know if Jackson Public and Doc Hammer still have any of the licensing rights controls or what. We'll find out.
Well, it's, wherever you find out, we would love to talk about because that's all. I mean, they're just for vague hints that HBO Max might be bringing it back. And that makes sense because HBO is bringing back everything else. So, why not? But it's
Young cool. Justice.
Yeah.
I love Young Justice. It was pretty good. And the nice thing about Venture Brothers, that also for the game that we were trying to write, is that we talked about stage terrorism as the name, and failure is one of the big themes for Venture Brothers. And so that's kind of the tone that we were going with the game, where it's just unlike other games where it's you're playing superheroes and everything's all four color action or it's all grim, dark and gritty and Iron Age. This one, it's maybe you're playing a successful hero. Maybe you're playing the successful hero's henchman. Maybe you're playing the guy who gets coffee for them both. And it still makes for a great story. And one of the missions that we were playing with that Mike was running was all about one of the characters trying to hire just a new intern. And my character, who is he's a hitman from 60 Seconds in the Future. He's his name is Time Out. He is a sports themed supervillain, and he can move 60 seconds through time, which is still a lot when you think about it.
A lot can happen in a minute.
Yeah,
he's got a great rival in the party too, Captain Hindsight, whose power is hindsight. It's great. And actually, it's surprisingly, that character picked a really good character to make because when you make a good pun while you're playing and making a role, you just get a bonus. There's a pun bonus because it's a comedy game. So he's almost always getting his pun bonus. He's now that I think about it in hindsight, I guess I should have done it this way. I'm like, boom, add it to, but yeah, the first game was a sidekick convention, which was fabulous. And the whole thing is predicated on that kind of those kinds of events. Episodic play, but that's a little in the weeds.
Okay, cool. I kind of wish I had you guys yesterday at Craig Campbell talking about his game Low Stakes, which is designed to emulate the show What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, I saw that he launched that. It looked like that was a good title, man. That's a good title, Craig.
Yeah, it's a fun. Just seems like there's a lot of overlap between what you guys are doing. Although, admittedly, What We Do in the Shadows is a lot more absurd slapstick. Without some of the melancholy and pathos that you get in Venture Brothers. How do you guys handle more serious themes? Or are you really aiming just for kind of the more comedy elements And, you know, there's not a mechanic for finding out that your father was a bigger failure than you ever anticipated, or that you were actually a clone and everything you know is a lie. Because that's hard to get into a random event table, right?
Yeah, those are not baked into the system, although it's certainly things that could happen. Let me see. There is some serious stuff. There's like combat, and I would say the more serious thing is sense of realism. So, for instance, law and legality like plays a pretty decent role. There's like four or five lawyers in the like cast section, because like there is an organization, the Coalition of Worldwide Liberty, COWL, that is arrayed against the various science heroes and the Federal Abnormal Bureau and stuff like that. So the sense of seriousness would come from like that realism to bring in bureaucratic agencies and the kind of like humdrum, what's the right word I want? Pause that happens a lot in Venture Brothers, where it's like, okay, well, hold on. Do you have the permit for that super death laser? Because if you don't, I'm going to have to call the office and like that kind of thing. We definitely have that hard baked in. But as far as like, you know, you murdered my sister kind of things, like, nah, I don't think there's anything like that in there.
All right, cool. So what's the plan? Are you guys going to be kickstarting this in 6 months, or bring it out for con season in the summer, if there is a con season in the summer, or what's the plan?
I have another project that's going to Kickstarter sooner called Legendary Adventures. It's like Epic Rules for 5e. www.epic5e.com, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Epic5e.com. But yeah, we'll probably look at this in maybe June or August. It depends on how the art schedule works out and if HBO has any interest at all in licensing and stuff like that. Yeah, a lot of it's still up in the air. Yeah, we got the base script done, which is just the big hurdle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, good luck with HBO. My fingers are crossed for you. So what was that URL again? I can throw it in the show links. Is it Epic5e or what was that?
Yeah, epic5e.com.
Epic.
Nice and simple.
Okay. Because Google
does. Yeah, that's cool. I finished uploading the print proof to the printer yesterday. So I'll be ordering my proof and hopefully in the next 2 months I'll have that up and running.
All right. Sweet. So what was the most challenging part of this game for you guys?
Probably nailing the tone without having the game be reduced to like a 20-minute thing that you play once and then you set it down again. Because Mike and I, like, obviously we wanted to have fun making it, and it's a game about humor, and we understand that this might not be someone's, like, you know, 5-year spanning campaign. But at the same time, we wanted to make it so that it's a fun enough game that players can make the characters, and then they do want to show up next week and play the game. And not that it's like next week, it's like, yeah, can we play like RuneQuest next week, or can we play like some other game? And trying to make it so it's like, no, this is a real game, because with a lot of satire stuff, people are like, oh, is this real, or is this your April Fool's joke? And we wanted like the players and really just any of the readers to just go through it and either get inspired to run the game or just have a good time reading it, because the book's full of like a bunch of like humor and jokes, but it's also meant to be like, you know, hey, no, I actually want to explore this universe. I want to play a disgraced superhero's son who wants to find out who disgraced my dad. And yeah, I'm fighting like the frogman I mentioned earlier, or there's this superhero named Cybercock, which has a weird name and he's fighting me. But it's also one of those things where it's like, yeah, but you're also trying to like redeem your dad, or you're trying to figure out what's going on. And it's just one of those things where like when you have to go through the draft, you have to be like, okay, are we just making like a funny meme that people are going to read once and then laugh and share it with their friends and go, haha, let's go back to D&D. Not that there's anything wrong with D&D, but just making a game that's interesting, fun, and compelling. I guess compelling is like the best word to use for it. And, yeah, and also, like I said, getting all the good jokes in there and then getting just, like, you know, the big binder of bad jokes out of the way.
Yeah, and you'll know it's a Venture Brothers inspired RPG because, like, all the moves in like, the default moves, like, when you play Power of the Apocalypse, you have a number of default moves that you can make. Most of them are just, like, attack, dodge, and stuff. For us, it's, like, hide or we're going to be on the news, and that's the move you take when you want to hide because that's a quote from Venture Brothers, and all of the default moves are quotes from Venture Brothers. So I snuck that in. For design-wise, the hardest thing for me was, like, I'm used to doing D20 variants and independence where combat and tactical combat is, like, very, very important. And here, there's some combat rules, but, like, they're there in case you need them. Ideally, you don't. So that was, it was just a different design ethos than I'm particularly used to. This is one of the reasons we were playtesting it so hard, because, like, I was really untested waters for me. But John can attest that the boat floats pretty good.
It's been a lot of fun, and all the other playtesters, they just love their characters, and
Professor Bellbop. Professor Bellbop.
Yeah, I'm say what?
The professor's name changes every time we say it, pretty much, because we all say it differently. It's Bellbop, Bellborb, Bellbob.
Bellhop.
Bellhop. Yeah, yeah, she's pretty good about it. And yeah, Captain Hindsight. And then the one we're not going to say on here because she chose a very rare. If she wanted to say it, she could, but I don't think we can put it that way.
Okay. I've noticed our RPGs that specifically aim towards comedy are very difficult to get around. I mean, everyone has comedic moments in their games. We all love, you know, poking fun at genre and genre conventions. But to make a specific comedy-based game, I find a lot of people have difficulty with it. You know, Teenagers from Outer Space is one of the few games I can really name that was in any way popular as a comedy-based game.
Well, I think you can lead people to the funny, but you can't make them drink, if you know what I mean. I mean, if you have a table full of people who aren't particularly funny, you know, it's a challenge, because, you know, it's any rule book that you bust out, you know, it's you're betting the people on the table will be, you know, willing and able to go and have a good time with it. And some tables can, some tables can't. And wow, that was a grim line of conversation. I'm sorry. Here, I'm failing again. Once again.
The point is, I'm hoping this does well, because there are few and far comedy-based RPGs out there. So I'm hoping that this gets the notoriety it does, and we'll especially know if it does if you actually pick up that license.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's even like something that Mike and I discussed. Like, you know, what if you're just not good at improv, and especially with like comedy improv, you know, that can just like fall flat really quickly. And so that's something that Mike and I were talking about, and just trying to address that to make sure that when you play the game, you know, you can have fun even if you're not traditionally good at improv.
Yeah, so I don't talk about it a lot, but I have a couple years of improv training. And that's one of the things we worked into the rule set, is there's a lot of interplay in the session zero, right? So mm-hmm. you make your origin character if you're a hero or villain, but the people who are playing like secret agents or sidekicks don't have origin characters. Instead, they're determining like, where is the modern game going to be set? Where were the origin characters like last at when they mysteriously disappeared or died? So like, even before you even start rolling dice, really, there's some like team improvisational building exercises going on that we don't call team improvisational building because nobody wants to do it. But like, yeah, when it's hidden inside of session zero, we try to prime the pump for better improv. And there are a couple of other tools in there to help GMs who aren't used to, like, you know, constantly improvising a game.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I'd really want to play this. Mike, can I get you to come on do lunchtime sessions for us for two or three times so we can kick the tires on this?
Maybe.
All right. Maybe, yeah. Let's talk off the air. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I keep getting busier and busier and busier and busier.
You're becoming an important man in this RPG industry.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. As long as I'm a hired man, that's good. I'll just take that. I don't need to be important. I just need to make some money, you know?
I just need to make that big RPG cash.
Yeah, that big old RPG cash.
Forget about comics
and
movies.
No one gets into RPG games because they want to be rich.
Oh, there are stupid people who get into RPG games trying to get rich. We see those every couple of years.
Yeah. There's a couple of get-rich-quick schemes, but...
Yeah.
and see how popular they are?
I don't know. I'm kind of wishing I'd pumped and dumped on GameStop last week, but... That could be a gaming get-rich-quick scheme.
A couple of my designers did. Oh, so it's like, are you still down to work on this project? And they're like, yeah, we're yes. Good. I'm glad that I don't have to worry so much about you paying your rent and stuff. That's great.
It's not like the Bitcoin boom. You could just make a couple hundred and get out. So, yeah, sweet. All right. I think this is a great project and I'm really excited about it. Can we have you guys come back on when you're getting ready to kickstart it or however you decide to release it? And oh my God, if you actually get the license, yeah, would love to have you guys come on and, delve into what that whole process is like. Cause I talked to Cam Banks. I've talked to a few other publishers about, you know, the arcane and Byzantine methods of license negotiation. And I'd just like to know some, if it's a fun story, I'd like to know more about it. If it's hours and hours with you on a Zoom call with a lawyer, maybe not so much, but.
I've done a couple IP things before and it really just depends on the terms. Mm-hmm. Some places are way more strict about it, like Games Workshop and 2000 AD or Revolution, people who own 2000 AD are very mm-hmm. specific. They have to approve everything. If you can do a Kickstarter, they got to prove it. Every book, they need to read through the whole thing and prove it. But not all of them are super tight like that. I imagine Venture Bros will probably be pretty tight, but I think we'll be in good company for that between me and John.
Yeah, well, I mean, if HBO is involved, that's Warner Brothers. So they've got some of those ninja robot lawyers. So it'd be a whole other level for you. But you know, John's a smart guy. He went to Warren Central and Purdue, so I'm sure he's up to the task.
I just really like black and gold as color schemes. So
yeah, me too. It's aesthetically pleasing. I feel you.
Is that a Pittsburgh joke or is it something else?
Black and gold were the colors of both our high school and our college.
Okay. Yeah.
Everything in Pittsburgh is black and gold because of the Stallers.
Stallers, yeah.
Go Stallers.
Go Stallers. Is that how you guys say it there?
I mean, if you get real downtown, you want to go down to Pantanet? Yeah, talk about Stallers. Yeah.
All right. I'm learning things on this podcast. I like it.
Oh, we have the most hated accent in all of America.
Really?
I worked very hard to get out of it. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's like a high, whiny, annoying, grating. Yeah.
I thought that was a Philadelphia accent.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go with that. Get some water. We don't say water over here because we're not idiots. But yeah, I understand they do that over there. Yeah.
No, but do you wash your car?
Sometimes we wash the car, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes wash the car. Can't get away from that.
All right. Well, hey, anything else you guys want to, any closing thoughts before we wrap up the podcast?
We don't have a mailing list or anything, but if you want to stay up to date with what's going on with Stage Heroism, you can mm-hmm. follow me at MikeMyler2, or you can follow John at JKMyth on the Twitter. And that'll probably be the most reliable means to hear from us about this.
So that's at Mike Myler too. And John, you were, what was yours?
JK Myth.
JK MYTH.
That has been my gamer tag since college. And it's just, it's how people recognize me the most on whatever social media platform I'm on, because it's usually available.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, that's cool. So what was your major at Purdue? It wasn't for forestry, was it?
No, I started engineering, and then I realized that I was so bad at it that I wouldn't drive over any bridge that I had a hand in building. Mm-hmm. So I bounced around, and then I finally settled in liberal arts, and I have a history degree, an English degree, and a creative writing degree.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I started off in forestry and decided I knew a lot of guys that are just like you. They got into engineering and like, oh, my God, I hate this. So they got into things that they didn't hate quite so much. But my degree is in – it doesn't fucking matter. We're talking RPGs on this podcast. Sorry. We can chat about Purdue, Indiana stuff some other times. All right. Well, hey, Mike, John, Jacob, appreciate all you guys coming on. Jacob, any last words for you before we wrap things up?
I got my Kickstarter copy of Pew Pew Pew.
All right. I also have my Kickstarter copy of Pew Pew.
Oh, I'm supposed to message you, Beb. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I can hook you up. Mike.
Yeah, right. No. I just remembered that you asked me to message you the other day, and I completely forgot. Sorry.
I forgot too. It's all right. I'm an old guy. I forget everything, so yes. No worries. All right. Well, hey, to all our listeners and viewers out there, we will catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.